From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Dr. John West, author of Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dr. John West in their conversation.
Again, it's not just the big, bad, nasty atheists and secularists who are our problem. There are Christians who are facilitating a lot of the persecution, either directly or by refusing to talk about it, refusing to defend people. You know, during the COVID era of some of the endless lockdowns and the mandates, you had David French, who's an evangelical columnist at the New York Times, who's very anti-Trump. But then you have Robert Jeffress, conservative Trump supporter, Baptist Church in Dallas. Both of them, though, demonized Christians who didn't feel that they could take the COVID vax. And I think that that is really sad and tragic. And again, I'm not saying if they had said, well, I think it's good for these reasons, so that's why I think you should take it. But no, David French wrote a piece basically accusing everyone who disagreed for whatever reason of having hardness of heart, that's so hard, their hearts are so hard that virtue can't penetrate. I mean, it was really high voltage stuff. And similarly, Baptist Robert Jeffress boasted to the news media that he did not offer any exemptions to his own staff of his Baptist church. Now, Baptists historically are strong believers in religious liberty. I mean, I think that's really, really tragic.
And there were some really good reasons that people had for not taking the COVID vaccine. I mean, I took it because I had to travel around the world and I couldn't travel without taking the vaccine. My wife did not, and she had valid reasons for not wanting to take it. There were reasons that included the fact that the derivation of the vaccine itself had systemic problems.
Yes, and certainly in some of the testing, depending on the particular vaccine, there was the use of some cell lines derived from aborted fetal cell lines. And then also, I mean, I would broaden it out. If you're a parent, I mean, and I'll be honest, I did not end up taking the COVID vaccine, neither did my wife or kids. Now, part of it was because we ended up getting COVID, and so there was no reason in our view to take an additional vaccine. But we know a lot of people who chose for some very serious reasons. You know, some who were pregnant, who were, you know, it was a little bit unclear of how it would affect pregnant women. And say, young men, I mean, it's now well established that if you're a young male in good health, you probably shouldn't be taking those COVID vaccines because of the heart issues with that. And in fact, I know of some cases personally where that was the case. And so if you're a parent, so and someone like Robert Jeffress or David French would say, well, that's not a religious objection. That's not a conscious objection. That's, you know, that's just a secular objection, so it doesn't matter. Well, who's actually, if you're a parent of, say, a 13-year-old boy, who is responsible ultimately before God for the safety and care and raising of that child? It's not Anthony Fauci or Francis Collins or David French for that matter. It's the parent. And so if the parent has, you know, serious reasons to be concerned that, you know, say their kid is in good health and they're reading this material that's coming out about the problems with heart issues, that is a particular, I'd say that they were called by God to follow their conscience there and protect their child. And that is an issue of religious liberty and conscience, because it's the parents who are supposed to be responsible for their kids, not the government. And so I think some of these people who say, oh, there's no religious liberty component in here, were just as such a narrow view of religious liberty that it's really concerning. And now we know, actually, I mean, the government made, and we could get into this for all sorts of things, but you know, the government made no distinction between those who actually had COVID before and whether they should have these vaccine mandates. But we now know, just a few months ago, we now know that there was a meeting with Francis Collins, the head of the CDC, and some epidemiologists early on, where they basically all agreed, they all conceded that scientifically, that if you had already had COVID, really the vaccine provided no additional benefit. Where they disagreed, and that's why they didn't publicly acknowledged this at the time, was, oh, well, that would create a PR issue and it would, you know, create inconsistent messaging. And so it wasn't about the science. It was about the PR message. Well, I'm sorry, that I don't think that's ethically defensible. And we now know this because someone who participated in the meeting who agreed with the COVID vax has come forward to share about the meeting. And so I think there were a lot of issues where I think a lot of Christians need to apologize to how they treated their fellow Christians. And again, people should hear me. It's not because if someone took the COVID vax or thought that was right, fine. Or if someone supported COVID lockdowns, fine. It's how they treated the people who disagreed with them on an issue that at best was arguable among Christians. And I, you know, Paul does talk about this with regard to eating food that has been offered to idols and stuff, and talking about respecting on things that are not non-negotiable biblical things, respecting the conscious beliefs of your fellow Christians. And I think that we had a lot of Christian leaders who failed at that. They were so rah-rah that, and they could have, again, they could have shared their own perspective without demonizing, you know, the people on the other side who suffered a great deal. I mean, I know people who lost their jobs. I know people who actually had to take the COVID vaccine against their will who ended up being vaccine injured. I mean, it's just, I think there needs to be some ownership on the part of some Christian leaders about their complicity in this.
Yeah, let's talk a little about listening to the wrong voices, your chapter 7, where you discuss root causes of Stockholm Syndrome Christianity. What makes, in other words, Christians susceptible to Stockholm Syndrome Christianity? And you give a whole list, starting with traditional news media. And when you're listening to the wrong voices, you're going to be stuck in this psycho-epistemological cocoon. You can't break out of it. Once you determine your paradigm, then your paradigm determines you. And so often, this is the root cause. You're listening to the wrong voices.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time talking about the problems, and there is that in the book, and that's a main feature of the book. But then I do shift over into several chapters of, you know, what are the root causes? What are things we can do about it? Because my goal in this book is not just to be another book that criticizes, but is to provide some, you know, positive things that people can do and some understanding of, you know, how we can avoid. And you're exactly right. I think one of the absolute most important things when I've seen my own, you know, friends at church or colleagues at, you know, when I was a college professor, of where people begin to go awry, it's they're listening to the wrong voices. And so many people don't realize, you know, they think that, well, you know, I have a solid Christian worldview, so it doesn't matter what I'm reading or looking at, because or I'm just, you know, reading a news source that, oh, it's just a neutral source. Well, that's just not true. And whether it be social media or Wikipedia or search engines, or let alone the traditional media, all of this is curated for you largely by people who are hostile to the Christian faith. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't have some accurate information there, but it does mean you need to be really careful. And it does mean that if that's all you're filling your mind with, don't be cocky. Because, for example, if you have, and I've seen this with some people, say you start out with a biblical view of biblical sexuality. But then you're told, you read news article after news article that says, well, you know, that's not biologically realistic, or, you know, this is how people are born with this, or this is, you know, and you just read ad nauseum these things that seek to say, well, in the real world, this isn't true. Then you, at the very least, have this tension between what the Bible has taught you and then what you think real world is showing. So these sources of information about daily life are really important if you're not getting good information. And what I try to do in that particular chapter is go through in detail and sort of show people, I mean, who are the people who are making these choices and how does it impact you? Even something as simple as that people don't think about, the agenda setting function of the news media. You know, at one time, I mean, America still, for like compared to most of Western Europe, is still much more religiously devout in terms of church attendance and prayer and a lot of other things. You would never know that from our secular media. I mean, several generations ago in the 19th century, you would actually have reports of sermons on Sunday at big churches. Now, you don't have that now. Now, is that because objectively religion isn't so interesting anymore? Well, I go through the stats. If you actually compare the number of people who attend church weekly or a couple times a month versus those who go to movie theaters or go to sporting events and stuff, church wins out. And so objectively speaking, we still have a lot of people who are really concerned about their relationship to God, but our media sources do not reflect that. And so if you're listening to all these secular media sources, you're imbibing this idea that your religion really isn't important. It's something only that you're interested in, that culturally it's all the other side when it's actually not. And so you end up transforming and being manipulated by that. Now, the good news that there are now lots of good media sources. And so actually, if you're listening to this podcast, this is one. I mean, the work of Christian Research Institute over the last generations has been to give discernment and equip people and help. And so this is a great information source. And there are others for news and other things. And so, the real encouragement, I end that chapter talking about the Bereans. The Bereans heard stuff, but then they compare it to the Bible. I'm calling for people to be discerning, but to be discerning, you need to make sure that you're getting decent information sources.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. John West. What if American culture isn't collapsing because of crusading secularists? What if it's failing because many leading Christians identify more with secular elites than with their fellow believers? Those are the provocative questions posed by John West in his book, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, which exposes how influential Christian leaders are siding with their anti-Christian cultural captors on everything from biblical authority and science to sex, race, and religious liberty. To receive your copy of Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It, call 888-7000-CRI and make a special fiscal year-end gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Well, now here again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. John West, as they continue their conversation.
To be discerning, you need to make sure that you're getting decent information sources and that your kids are getting decent information sources. And that if you're a pastor, that your parishioners are getting decent information sources. Because if they're not, they're going to become like what they are listening to.
Yeah, and social media is a big part of that.
Yes. And so I deal also with social media, but I will say that a lot of stuff on social media, the agenda is still set by more traditional outlets because you're sharing stories, you're commenting on stories that are made possible by the rest of the media. But yes, social media, a lot of things are censored. Algorithms push some things over other things.
Yeah, and you point that out in your book. I mean, you talk about algorithms. Google search engines are critical in terms of what you're steered towards and what you're steered from.
That's true. I give an example that people can use in their own life of searching for crisis pregnancy center. And I'll tell you that often what will come up is lots of Planned Parenthoods or a site that actually calls itself Pregnancy Center Finder that is actually a hit site attacking pro-life pregnancy centers. And so from that, if you don't dig deep down in the list, you think, well, there aren't any good crisis pregnancy centers or these are all a bad thing. And the new thing on the horizon is a lot of people and a lot of Christians are relying increasingly on AI chatbots. This is really worrisome for a more general reason. It's not just bias. It's chatbots, these AI things like ChatGPT or a lot of the other ones, they don't have minds. And so they can't be programmed for truth. And so what you're getting is this mishmash of stuff that conjugates sentences and concepts that technically it will read well, but it may be false. And it's hard for you to know. I mean, I give an example where I engaged in research on a chatbot over intelligent design and what the courts have said about it. And I got fake citations of court cases that never existed. And, you know, one party was from a real case, you know, so it was like, say, Smith versus Jones, and maybe Smith came from one case, Jones came from another case, and it was a mishmash in it. And it would actually say, well, an Alabama Supreme Court in 2000, whatever, gave this case, and there was no case. And this is ubiquitous among these AI chatbots. And so this is a really bad way of trying to get your information.
So the Russians didn't actually send bears up into space?
No, yes, the case I use in there, which is really humorous. I think of the old Muppet Show, Bears in Space, but we did some chimps and stuff. But so chatbot after chatbot basically claims that the Russians sent this series of bears into space, and they'll even give you names of the bears, you know, Alyosha, and I forget what the names are, but it's all fake.
Vladimir was one of them.
Vladimir.
So another thing that I want to get at in this podcast, which I think is so important, is the entertainment media. I've often said that the ballot box is necessary. We so often talk about elections and the criticality of elections, and the ballot box is certainly necessary. But people's views are so often determined by the educational institutions, by the environmental institutions, by the entertainment institutions. So we have to be so careful about entertainment media as one of those major issues.
Yeah, no. So I think they're at two levels. You know, one, I think some Christians will understand, although not enough. You know, one is just the gratuitous sex, unbiblical behavior, values confusion, transgender confusion. And so that's one thing. But then even in more family-friendly things, if the messaging can be really sinister. And so let me give an example that might offend some of your viewers, but I know a lot of Christians love sort of the Hallmark Channel. And I don't dislike the Hallmark Channel. And, you know, I know a lot of Christians who loved all the Hallmark Christmas movies. But, you know, overwhelmingly, those Christmas movies aren't really about Christmas. They're not about Jesus. They're very hyper-secular. And so if you are watching 20 Hallmark Christmas movies where maybe one of them has something about the real meaning of Christmas, How are you shaping your view and your mindset and your children's mindset about what the real meaning of Christmas is? And so I use that example to show that it's not just the most obvious things where that you shouldn't be watching or you shouldn't be allowing your kids to watch that's just, you know, filling your mind with filth. It can also be things that are, maybe they're not filthy, but they're really changing your worldview or your reference point of what's important without you even thinking about it. And so, you know, the number one thing is when you do that, you should at least be discerning and realize what you're watching and sort of mentally push back on it. And then I don't think many parents, because, you know, parents are of a always a generation behind their kids, in at least in the newest technology. I think many parents who didn't grow up in quite the saturated social media environment that we are in now, or the saturated pornography of hardcore pornography environment, aren't sufficiently concerned about what their kids are doing on their iPhones or their Androids or in some of these actually simulation gaming sites. And that can be very, very dangerous and destructive to your kids and to adults for that matter. But, you know.
Yeah. What about this phrase, follow the science wherever it leads? I mean, we got to be true to science. I mean, I've been hearing this on even very conservative shows. Follow the science, but that's kind of fraught with all kinds of pitfalls.
Oh, it is. And so, you know, in one sense, I mean, like most slogans, it has a kernel of truth. If you're trying to get at, you know, let's follow what the evidence actually says, the problem is who speaks for science. And what we saw during COVID, but it's not just COVID, we see it in debates over, say, climate change. You have people who are saying, we speak for the science, and therefore, if you raise questions, even if you're a fellow scientist, even if you have degrees from the same prestigious places, even if you've done research, it doesn't matter. If you're a minority dissenting view, we don't have to respond to you, we don't need to listen to you, and you're anti-science because you're raising evidence-based objections. And so here's the problem with science becoming its own ideology of being this catchphrase to actually stand for something other than really science. I mean, if you're using science as this dogmatic phrase to justify and baptize whatever ideological claim you're trying to promote, that you're not a good scientist. And the best of really good scientists are open, you know, to criticism. And in fact, if someone criticizes them, rather than trying to shut them down, they should respond to them and say, well, you know, that really doesn't work out because I think the evidence overwhelmingly points in this direction. But if instead they say, well, let's demonize or shut them down. I mean, this was another problem with Francis Collins during the COVID. It's come out, you know, there were a lot of scientists who disagreed about some of the policies on endless lockdowns. And rather than engage them, the issue was, well, let's just smack them down or let's just, you know, disregard. And that is a danger signal. So I think when you say people say, you know, follow the science, I think the first question should be, well, says who? Who's talking about the science? And then are there any scientists who disagree? And what does the evidence actually show? And at least, you know, be open to asking those questions. And then the people, if you ask questions of people who are saying, well, science says this with a capital S, and they get upset because you're asking questions like this, that's a big danger signal that maybe what they're promoting isn't science after all.
And this is particularly true when it comes to global warming.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this is, you know, I know Christians have different views, but here, global warming is actually, what is it? It's a constellation of different claims, each of which have to be justified. So one is, has there been a warming period in the last 100 years? So that's one claim. And most people, I think, would agree that there has been, although there's some question that may have leveled off. Then the question is, well, but what are the factors that actually cause that? Well, then there's a lot of disagreement over the things, or, you know, and, you know, how much is it human? How much is it the sun? How much is it other things? And so that's a separate question that requires its own evidence to answer. And then, well, let's say you even agree on those two things. Well, then what can we do about it? And, you know, can we do something about it? And then what will be the cost of doing something about it? In fact, in order to say, do something about it, are you going to put so many millions of people out of work that you're going to harm them or lead to starvation or things? You know, what are the consequences? So you have these different questions. And the people who want to say, you know, are you with me or against me with global warming? You're a climate change denier. That really is, again, it's a manipulation of science because the actual questions are a set of different questions, each of which have to be answered. And you may answer one way. You may say, well, yeah, there's global warming going on over the past 100 years. but it seems to be part of a natural cycle that, you know, is now leveling off. I mean, the answer to one question doesn't prejudge the answer to the other questions.
I appreciate you on so many different levels. I like the tone of your book. Whenever you can give leeway or credence or credibility or say something positive about someone that you're very critical of, you do that. And so I very much appreciate the tone of the book. It is a brilliant book. I highly recommend it. Again, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity is available to anyone who stands shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Your copy available at equip.org.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. John West. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our unwavering mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend and proclaim the faith once for all given to the saints, and equip believers to live as genuine followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your special fiscal year-end gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of the book by John West, Stockholm Syndrome Christianity, Why America's Christian Leaders Are Failing and What We Can Do About It. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, that's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. And you can also write CRI, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.